Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Final hour of the show, KB coming up in just about, carry the two, 1 hour here. Going to have a lot of talking, that Kyle Bailey to do. We've got the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick coming up in about 40 minutes. And I think we do want to get back to the question that we had for you guys earlier. I think we just scratched the surface of the potential of the conversation of what's a bigger concern for the Carolina Panthers right now. Matt Rhule or Dave Tepper. But tonight, Stan, another opportunity for the Charlotte Hornets to get back into the win column.
There is a game tonight.
They've got the 8 p.m. tip here. Cannot wait for you to overreact to whatever happens tomorrow. Sam Farber on the tip here on Sports Radio FNZ at 8 p.m., but KB on the pregame show.
KB and likely Willie Pelagic. Travis T-Bone Hancock may not be available.
I have not heard who is officially going to be with KB, so I'm just going to leave it to KB, but then you and KB on the postgame show.
No postgame for me tonight.
Why is that?
8 o'clock or later, we don't post.
Oh, so no postgame show.
No postgame show.
So all of your reactions,
live tomorrow,
are going to be just full tilt tomorrow.
Segment one tomorrow is Hornets reaction.
I don't view tonight's game as a litmus test, but I do
you
like.
You never do. What's the final game of the year? I'm sorry, that was rude. Go ahead.
But I am excited to see them play against Milwaukee because Milwaukee's one of the hottest teams in the NBA.
That was funny. Listen, Hornets on a two-game skid here. Look, Chicago, the better team won. Milwaukee's a better team. Now, the Hornets have gone into environments like this. I give you Brooklyn to start the season, and they've got one. Milwaukee tonight favored by 9. Does not look like there will be any Plumlee nor Cody Martin tonight is what I'm seeing right now.
Well, we can ask the man himself because we are joined by our weekly visitor, a man who knows the appropriate amount of Thanksgiving food to consume on any given day, unless you hear his response from Stan Norfleet. He is the Hornets head coach. James Borrego, he joins us now on the Technicom hotline. Coach, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks, man. Hope you guys did too.
JB, appreciate it, brother.
We appreciate it. I promise today we will not be attacking you for your food preferences. I won't fleet might. So tonight, I'm just curious because I think as fans do this a lot with games like tonight against Milwaukee in Milwaukee. Do you view tonight's game as a benchmark for your young team?
I'm not sure what you mean by benchmark. You know, it's not going to define our season, win or lose. You know, we got to play better. It's a great opportunity to play against a very good team, playing extremely well. We've had benchmark wins, and you got to play the next game. That's the bottom line, Nick. I mean, it's 82 games. It's a long season. We got to get better off our last game. You know, we've had two poor defensive performances last two nights, and we got to respond tonight. So that's the great challenge here. Win or lose tonight, the season continues. We move on. We still got to win games moving forward, but it's a great challenge. We played these guys well in the past. I expect our guys to come in here with a mindset of attacking and going to win this game. Obviously, they're playing very well, very good team, NBA champions. So our guys have risen to the challenge most times this season. So I expect that same effort tonight.
JB, I want to focus on the defensive end. And you know the numbers, but I do. I think the last three games, including Chicago, 131 points, give or take. And I know I've heard your comments about Cody Martin and Mace not being there had something to do with that. Where are you with your lineup for tonight, and whose availability can we count on?
Well, it's likely the same lineup, Stan. I mean, it's likely the same lineup. I don't see much changing tonight. Maybe Cody can go at some point, and we get some good news on there. Mason's obviously not going to be there tonight, so we miss his presence, his defense. I think, you know, more than ever, we understand the value of these two guys to our team more than ever, especially on the defensive end. You know, I know Plumlee probably gets a little criticism for whatever reason, but he anchors our defense. He doesn't need the ball. He's unselfish. He makes the right play. He's the commander of our defense. He's like the middle linebacker out there giving all the commands. And when that guy's missing, other guys have to step up, and it's been a challenge for us the last few games. So Cody Martin, our best pound-for-pound defender. I've said that for 2 years now, and he continues to be. So we got to have other guys step up. And obviously we did not in the Houston game. That was extremely disappointing. But, I didn't like the same overall mentality defensively against Chicago either. So until those guys get back, you know, we got guys here that are capable of doing it. We just got to own it, step into that, and be better defensively.
Hornets head coach James Borrego with Nick and Stan here. Hornets in Milwaukee tonight against the Bucks. 8 p.m. tip, of course. Sam Farber, we'll have the call for you tonight on Sports Radio FNZ. So, you know, you've talked about the absence of Cody and Mason as you are right now. When those guys are out, who's the guy, you know, because obviously when they're in, they're the guys who kind of charge with leading that intensity, that effort, that focus defensively. When they're out, who are the first men up for you in kind of leading that charge defensively?
Well, I'm going to look at the experienced guys. They've been in this league. They've guarded before in the past. They know this. Terry Rozier's got to step up and defensively. Gordon Hayward's got to step up defensively. You know, Nick Richards can do what he can. He's a young buck out there trying to figure this out against all-star players. You know, to go out there against Vucevic and think he was going to, you know, turn our defense is asking a lot of him. He's a great kid. He's trying his best. But, you know, he's a puppy out there, and we need him to step up as well and grow up quickly. But guys that have the people I'm looking at right now, Nick, are the guys that have been here before. They've played. They got experience. They know what good defense looks like. This is not foreign to them. They got to step into it. That's Terry Rozier. That's Gordon Hayward. You know, and you got to put Miles in there. Miles is more experienced now. He understands that. PJ's got some experience. You know, he's got to step into that as well. And then, you know, Kelly off the bench. You know, we need more defense out of that group collectively. So as the young guys grow, Melo obviously has to grow quickly in this, you know, in this business. It's asking a lot of him, a 20-year-old that hasn't played in a lot of structured defensive systems. This is new for him. But I see effort out of him. I think there's growth from him. And we just got to, you know, until those guys get back, hold down the fort. But other guys got to step up, and I'm going to look at the veterans to do that.
JB, one of the comments that I made on the air following the Chicago game was like, I wasn't going to go over the top. But I was like, look, you know, Chicago's roster is a little different based on the players that are available, the things they did in the offseason. And look, sometimes, you know, a team with more talent, for those that want to say it that way, is going to win. When you think about tonight, because people would look at the reigning NBA champions in the Milwaukee Bucks and say that team likely has a different cast of characters than what you're working with. Do you feel that way in terms of how you present the Chicago challenge versus the Milwaukee challenge based on the lineup you have available?
Well, they're both obviously, you know, great challenges for us, especially, you know, with the guys being out. But, you know, you look at Chicago, they've added 22 years of experience to their group. DeRozan, 12 years in the league. Vucevic, 10 years in the league. LaVine, all-star. They got three all-stars. LaVine on his own is a challenge for us when he's by himself. DeRozan by himself on San Antonio is a challenge for us. Vucevic by himself in Orlando is a challenge for us. They have three guys on the floor together we're trying to guard, and we got to be better. It's a challenge. Give them credit. They did a hell of a job with their roster. Lonzo Ball, Caruso, you know, three all-stars, 22 years of experience. It's going to be a challenge. They should be where they are in the Eastern Conference. We're trying to get there, and it's a challenge. We've shown that we can be there. We've been there with Washington. We've been there with Golden State. We've been there with these top-tier teams. We did not have our best performance against Chicago. We got a small margin of error on the defensive end, period. When we're missing our two best defensive players, there's going to be challenges along the way against a team that has three all-stars and tons of experience. Asking Nick Richards to go out there and guard Nick Vucevic is a challenge. But we got to be better. We own that. It's a long season. Nobody's panicking here. And we just got to play better. And it starts again tonight. Milwaukee's talented. They got the, you know, MVP who on his own can just get to the rim. We better bring bodies to him. But, you know, when he kicks it, they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to help cooperate and miss some shots tonight. We can't, you know, there's not one person in this league that can guard Giannis one-on-one at the top of the floor, including us. So we got to bring bodies to him. We got to have multiple efforts. We got to contest shots. We got to rebound. We got to get back in transition defense. We got to do all the little things to put ourselves in position to win this game. And we've shown we can. Our offense is not the issue. We're a top five team offensively. Do we have to get better defensively? Yes. I think it's not a secret. But we've shown we're capable of doing it against top tier teams, against teams that are more talented than us, more experienced than us. We're capable. And that's what I'm pushing this team towards. Not to be complacent, not to just give in, to get out there and compete and be better. And that's the goal here tonight.
JB, in the Chicago game, LaMelo was picked up on a hot mic, teasing the refs, saying that when he's done hooping, he's going to be a ref so he can show them how to ref. I want to know, higher upside for LaMelo Ball, on the court or as a ref one day?
No question. On the court. Not a question.
All right, the headline for this is going to be James Borrego.
As an official, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I could do that job.
The headline for this is going to be James Borrego thinks LaMelo would be a crappy ref, just so you know.
Yeah. Breaking news. Borrego thinks Ball's a better player than ref.
Hot takes.
Breaking news.
JV, so, you know, we have to ask you something off the wall just because that's what we do.
I thought I just did.
No, that was, but... I was like, so.
I thought I gave you a drop the mic question. We need another question here.
So, you think about leaving Chicago. Chicago, one of the best sports cities in the country. Many of us have been fortunate enough to go through to experience that great food, all that. After the game, boom, you're out. You guys hit Milwaukee yesterday, right? So, how is it like the day before the game in Milwaukee, Wisconsin? Is the food decent? Is it something to do? You going to the Harley Davidson Museum or something? What's going on in Milwaukee, bro?
You know, I beat the streets for the first time in Milwaukee. It was after practice. I jumped off the bus and walked for, I don't know, a good 35, 40 minutes. And it felt good. It's got a good vibe. The downtown's got a good vibe. I found a nice little hole in the wall, sat there, you know, had a good meal by myself.
You went to a dive bar? What are you doing?
Yeah, I did. I'm not giving the name, but you know what? I enjoyed myself. The company was good. It had good ambiance to it. And
ambiance and dive bar.
It had something. So it had some type of vibe.
I beat the streets
and I liked it. It felt homey to me. It felt homey.
Okay.
So I think we really got to know, have you at least had the cheese in, like, isn't that what you go to Wisconsin
and brats?
For?
Don't you have brats?
Brats, I think. I did not have a brat. So maybe after the game I'll have a brat. But did not partake in a brat. I think they're known for, what, cheese and brats. I'd say, and beer.
Would you ever get caught dead wearing one of the cheese heads that Packers fans wear?
Cheese heads? No, I don't think so.
All right, would you ever be caught dead?
If my son was playing for the Packers, I would wear it. For
sure. All right, so would you ever be caught dead riding a Harley while wearing the cheese head?
And eating some Wisconsin cheese.
Wow. I probably have to live in Milwaukee for about 20 years for that to happen, but you never know.
Listen, the main streets.
It's very important, Coach, to have goals. I've said that for a while now. Listen, good luck tonight against Milwaukee, Coach. Always great catching up with you. We appreciate you, buddy.
Guys. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right, man.
Thank you so much. Hornets head coach James Borrego there.
It was good to hear JB lighten up at the end a little bit. You can tell he's focused. He's intent today.
Well, I mean, I think the real challenge of his job is balancing a young roster with the veterans that they do have, with the expectations, with, quite frankly, trying to develop winning habits. I think we make a lot, because so much of the NBA is about talent, we forget that especially when you're young, the process does matter, to go full Matt Rule on everybody.
Oh.
So the process has worked, but as the process evolves, you really do have to try and kind of evolve, not how you coach, but your tone, how you handle the guys as they can take on more.
It's fair. I think it's also got to be troubling to know that you don't have the piece. You're already outmanned. And then you don't have all the pieces you need due to injury. And you're going up against teams and rosters like Chicago and Milwaukee. That's got to be tough.
I think it was also over your bleep. I don't think it was a coincidence.
You asked the first question. He was perturbed at you.
Well, and I think he heard your analysis before I asked the first question. And then he was just like, I'm not answering this question because bleep fleet.
Me and JB are good.
You noticed when I pivoted to the, what was my question?
About LaMelo and the referee.
About LaMelo's a referee. All of a sudden, my boy JB's back. All of a sudden,
of course
I saved
he's
the
back.
Interview.
He wants to talk about everything other than the team getting outscored, like of the top 10 teams in the East that are playing eligible or better. The Charlotte Hornets are the only one with a negative point differential.
Nick Wilson saved the interview. That's what you heard. 704-570-9610.
Selfish man.
Be the fourth caller right now at 704-570-9610. You'll win a pair of tickets to the ACC championship game between Pitt and Wake this weekend in Charlotte. Good luck from Sports Radio FNZ. But when we come back, we're going to shift gears. That's a gear shifting.
Is that that's how it sounds in the Harley? I thought it was more like a. Isn't that how it sounds on a motorcycle?
We're going to shift gears to the Charlotte Hornets, to the Carolina Panthers next on Sports Radio
FNC. That made you sound like a creepy old man.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick and Stan. We got the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick pick. I might put a hex on Fitty's Tar Heels with my Nick pick coming up in about 20 minutes here.
Heels in action tonight. Also State in action tonight, I believe.
A lot of basketball to be had. But and by the way, we also have Bucks versus Hornets right here on the station. Can't forget that.
Oh, that's important.
We started to get into a conversation. And it branched off from the Matt Rhule conversation. I'll ask that question again to start the segment. Should Matt Rhule be on the hot seat? And for me, I'm not asking you, should Matt Rhule be fired? That is the extension of that conversation eventually. But the hot seat is, should he be feeling the heat? Should there be heat in that organization? And I think the reality is they've got 5 games. To try and make this look not as bad as it looks right now. And the difference between them going 1-4, but going 6-11, and going 4-1 is pretty significant. But the extension of the conversation we got into was, who is more of an issue right now, Matt Rhule or Dave Tepper?
Who should be held more responsible?
Sure, we'll go with that. We can go with that extension of it. Yeah, let's have it. Bleep that. Who do you hate more? So I'll ask you, because I had said that I really struggle with that question. I don't know that I have a definitive answer yet. I know that I hold Dave Tepper accountable for X, and I hold Matt Rhule accountable for Y, and a little bit of X and Y each. But I'm torn, because I think they both have erred. Both of their errors are why we are right here today.
So because this is mostly about the on-field product, I lean more Matt Rhule, even though Matt Rhule has a boss. I think the majority of the time, the overwhelming majority of the time, Dave Tepper allows Matt Rhule to do his thing. I do think there are some times along the way where Matt Rhule has said, or Dave Tepper said to Matt Rhule, no, I'd like to go this way. And as the owner of the operation, he reserves that right. Do I think he's on the phone with Matt Rhule a couple times a day? No, I don't think it's to that degree. But I do believe there are certain significant things. The Sam Darnold trade, signing Cam Newton, those are significant. Stephon Gilmore. I think he's like, all right, what's the plan here? So if you're asking me on-field product, which is what we're talking about here, I got to look at Matt Rhule and go, why doesn't this team have an identity yet? Why does this team not consistently put together performances? The wins and losses, that is what it is. But like, no 2 games look the same back to back to back to back from a performance standpoint.
I think the problem of really what we're we're getting to, is identity is a big picture thing. Identity is, this is who we are, and then everything dovetails under that. So they don't have an identity, despite Matt Rhule saying, here's what I want the identity to be. Run the ball, don't beat yourself, and play good defense.
Coach Rhule, down 11 points, second half, third quarter, start the third quarter. Second half, you ran the ball 4 times.
So the big picture, there's a problem there. Then when we get into the minute details, right? Because that's the other thing. All right, I can grade you big picture. I can grade you little picture. Well, clock management has been a real quagmire. Doesn't matter who the head coach is. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Doesn't matter who's in. They've had, whether it's the timing of timeouts, whether it is play calling, clock management has been an issue. Penalties have been an issue.
What's up with this third quarter?
No, that's 100%. So the three biggest things that I can grade a coach on, one big picture and two, minute details, identity, clock management, and penalties. Those three things have nothing to do with Dave Tepper. And that's where, that's really where I struggle with Matt Rhule and how much of this, because there's a part of me, like I was thinking about San Francisco after 2 years of Kyle Shanahan. Now, they had had a much better picture on the offensive line to that point. The defense was, but in a similar position, the defense was starting to tease serious upside and potential for the 49ers. But they had failed almost exclusively with Kyle Shanahan as their head coach because of the injuries at quarterback and the inconsistencies.
Yeah, they were sub 500, I believe, those first 2 years. And then year three, they hit and went to the Super Bowl.
And year three, it clicked. And to be fair, since that Super Bowl season, they haven't been great either because of those issues at the quarterback. But so there's a part of me that wants to say, you know what? It is a process. It takes time. But I don't know, and I'm saying this, you know, I mean, and I don't know if they were having the kind of cultural identity issues that the Panthers have had. Whether they've had the same clock management issues with Kyle Shanahan, the penalties with Kyle Shanahan. And here's one more, and this goes back, this is another big picture thing. The quarterback decisions. Coming into this last offseason, I said the most important thing for the Carolina Panthers for that offseason, what I was going to grade them on ultimately, what do you do at offensive line and what do you do at the quarterback spot? They did great things on the defensive line. They did great things in that secondary. They got a couple more potential playmakers as well in the pass game. And then they went out there on day one of free agency and signed Cam Irving and Pat Elflein, brought back Big Boosie John Miller, and didn't draft an offensive lineman until the third round.
Can I throw something in there? You had a running back that missed 13 games with three different injuries the year before. And then you went and got a guy in the fourth round of Chuba Hubbard who was dealing with injuries himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Chuba, but then you got him, and then you didn't use him. Like, mm-hmm.
Which they did with Mike Davis when Christian McCaffrey was healthy.
Correct.
And in fairness, the previous regime did when they had C.J. Anderson, mm-hmm. who they put cap dollars towards and then only played Christian McCaffrey. So you didn't deal with the offensive line. And then your suggestion, your choice to follow up the quarterback who was not good enough, who was consistent but not good enough, didn't have a high enough upside, was to go to the ultimate boom or bust guy in Sam Darnold and protect yourself with a former XFL MVP as his backup. I don't dislike PJ Walker. I don't dislike Sam Darnold. But those two decisions, on top of the fact that they followed up Teddy Bridgewater, so I've got two macro reasons why I can look at Matt Rhule and say, what the bleep are you doing? And I've got two micro reasons that I can look at Matt Rhule and say, what you're doing. I don't think I'm going to get to the point this year where I say he should be fired. He would really, for me, I value stability in organizations.
There's something to be said for it.
So much that it would take something Herculean for me to get there. But these are serious cracks in the foundation. And I think for a first-time owner in Dave Tepper, this isn't as if these are your first two seasons either. You had two seasons with a professional head coach in Ron Rivera.
And trust and believe, Dave Tepper is constantly comparing and contrasting. That whole time that he was with Marty and Ron, he knew that I'm probably going to move on, but I want to accumulate as much data and information so that I can compare it to the next crew.
By the way, real quick here.
What you got?
Tony Battaglio, who's a writer for the Pepperdine Times.
Pepperdine's out in Cali somewhere.
Has said Panthers, Matt Rhule, and Joe Brady are two names that have begun to pop up in regards to Oklahoma Sooners coaching job, and then have said names like Venables, Beamer, McDaniel, and Peyton are other names that are out there as well. Mm. If this season ends up being a 5-12 bleep show, and the culmination of it is Matt Rhule fighting Joe Brady for the right to become the head coach at Oklahoma.
That job would be filled by then. That Oklahoma job would be filled in any moment.
You would expect that to be the case. 704-570-9610. The question we're asking you is, so I've laid down my verdict. Earlier in the show, I laid down where I think the blame is for Dave Tepper. I have now laid down where I think the blame is for Matt Rhule. But I do think it's a fair question. And I don't know that I'm the guy that has to answer this. Because I think you guys have been around this organization a lot longer than I have. So you have a different perspective on this. But who is more to blame for where the Panthers are right now? Is it Matt Rhule or is it Dave Tepper? We're going to go out to the phone lines here. Our guy, Biscuits and Gravy. Welcome to the show, my guy.
Hey, my guys. What's going on?
What up, BNG?
My hot seat believes that it should be on Rhule. He's the coach. He's the one that needs to be coaching. It all rolls downhill. So if his OC's not doing his job, he needs to get on him. If the DC's not doing his job, he needs to get on him. You know, it all rolls downhill just like in a business, you know. It all rolls down from the top. So whoever ain't doing their job, the top's got to come down on the bottom. Y'all have a good one.
And I think there's a really good point to be made in what Biscuits and Gravy's saying there. The first three games, the Panthers won games, and some guys weren't doing their jobs. Or not doing their jobs well. And then the next three games happen, starting with that loss to Dallas. And a couple more guys started not doing their jobs very well. And then the schneid has continued. And in two straight seasons, you've had schneids. Last year, there wasn't really an expectation of changes because there was a talent deficit. They still aren't one of the five most talented teams in the NFL, but this is a vastly more talented team outside of the quarterback and offensive line positions. And yet there haven't been, I mean, I know that there have been micro changes that they've tried to make, even this last week. Derek Brown not being a starter for the game, that was one of the changes. But at some point, we've got to be able to point to changes that have worked and have led to positive results that have led to wins. And I just think that's really what I'm bereft of right now when we talk about Matt Rhule. What changes have worked that have led to wins? What I'm saying, I'm not talking about an individual win, but like it took them 5 weeks how to remember how to run the ball.
Matt Rhule's not getting paid handsomely to just go draw X's and O's on a dry erase board. You're getting paid to bring three phases of the game together in concert. You're being paid to galvanize a locker room, to garner faith and belief, to motivate grown men to work on one accord for one cause. You're the final voice. You're getting paid so that all your coaches understand, I need you to do your part, so this comes next. Okay, cool. Then we turn it over to the special teams. Blackburn, I need your group to do this, so on and so forth. You're getting paid handsomely to manage an operation. And then certainly there's a PR component to it as well, representing the organization, speaking with the media, all of those things. I think Matt Rhule doesn't have a really firm grasp right now on how to manage the overall operation on Sundays. I think he does it much better on Saturday.
704-570-9610. This was not the next guest or next caller in queue, but we just had Biscuits and Gravy. Now we have bacon and eggs. You're delicious. Welcome to the show. What do you have for us?
I think it's Joe Brady's fault, and Matt Rhule needs to do something about that. The play calling has just been poor. They can't put together a string of plays to get a first down, and I think that's the problem.
Thank you for the call there, bacon and eggs.
I do not expect Joe Brady to be back next season, regardless of what the scores are for the next five games.
But you know what's wild? I don't know that I agree that it is on Joe Brady. Like, Joe, I said this
somebody's
earlier.
Somebody's got to be the fall guy.
Well, but see, I think they've done that.
Somebody's going to be the fall guy this time.
But I think the problem is, if we look at it right now, Teddy Bridgewater has been vindicated by going to Denver, getting paid $10 million by the Carolina Panthers.
17, the 10 bonus and 7 in new money.
And playing reasonably well in Denver. He's not been lighting the world on fire.
Denver's got a better record than the Panthers.
But he's been better than Sam Darnold has been.
No doubt about that.
So I guess my thing is, like, are we really going to let the Panthers, are we really going to let Matt Rhule and Dave Tepper blame this on Joe Brady? Because Joe's not perfect. He's also a guy that has been, this is his first 2 years as a coordinator and a positional coach in the NFL, and we have seen creativity. We have seen moments.
In moments.
We have seen moments where he's excelled. And so I guess my thing is, I don't want to be sitting here in a year where the Panthers have five wins again at the bye, and Joe Brady is the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants, and the Giants are looking really good, And you're in the same position saying, oh, first it was Teddy. Teddy then went somewhere else and had success. Then it was Joe Brady. Like, I kind of am over the whole scapegoat. I don't think Joe Brady's the reason why this offense sucks. I think their decisions
He's a heavy percentage of it.
I don't think he's the biggest piece.
I don't think he's the biggest piece either.
704-570-9610. Want to hear from you guys. We've had biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. We'll see who else we can get. More on you guys, because we're going to take some calls here before we get to what you're burning on the Nick pick. Bigger issue right now. Dave Tepper or Matt Rhule? Sports Radio, FNC. Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. We are having this conversation. Want a big shout out to James Borrego. The last 6 minutes of James Borrego, the first 4 minutes, he was a grumpy panda. We still love Coach. Big thanks to Gene Sapikoff as well. On the backdrop of the conversation we're having about Matt Rhule or Dave Tepper, I had said that I'm not holding Joe Brady incredibly accountable for all their struggles on offense, because I think it's bigger than that. And somebody said that I was giving Joe Brady a pass for being new to the NFL while not giving Matt Rhule a pass for being new to the NFL. And that is 100% fair comeback. What I will say is Joe Brady has done more at his job to make me think that guy can be somebody long-term as a play caller in the NFL than Matt Rhule has done at his job. That's where we are 28 games into the Matt Rhule era.
That's not an unfair statement. Listen, but at the same time, I also look at Joe Brady and go, if perhaps David Tepper is making Matt Rhule play cards with one hand behind his back, then Matt Rhule is making Joe Brady play the same game with one hand behind his back, because Matt Rhule has the final say on the roster. He has not given Joe Brady everything he needs to have a successful operation.
He gave him Sam Darnold in year two. Like, I'm going to use a fleetism. What are we doing here?
Sam Darnold behind. It's not just Sam Darnold. Excellent quarterbacks have played. Aaron Rodgers' offensive line, once Bulaga left, wasn't great. Mm-hmm. Aaron had a lot of complaints about that old line. Russell Wilson hadn't had a great offensive line. It's been better. They've had to build it back. When you got a dude under center that's different, you can overcome an okay to slightly below average offensive line. They put Sam Darnold behind that O-line.
704-570-9610. Want to riff through some calls here real quick before we get to the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick pick. Fitty, I can't see the name over here. Who's on line three? That's where you say who's on line three so I can then go to them.
And why does Fitty at such a young age, still in his 20s, have to squint?
Unknown person on line three. Welcome to the show. What you got for us real quick?
Hey, this is Paul in Charlotte. Hey.
Hey, buddy.
So you guys have covered so many of my topics. I just wanted to thank you guys, and I've texted you before, for speaking truth to power. I think you guys are the most honest, open talk show in this city talking about what the issues are with the Panthers. And when it comes to any kind of a team, I grew up in Buffalo, New York. I used to work parking cars at Buffalo Bills games. I've seen bad teams, and this organization is as bad as I've ever seen. And I think it all starts from the head down. And I think it's part Tepper, part Rhule, part talent acquisition, part game time management. There's not one easy, simple answer, but it's all just a big conjumbled mess, starting from the head down. And I guess that's about what I wanted to say.
Paul, we appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Paul.
Appreciate it, buddy. We're going to put that right into a promo.
And we also need to put that as
a promo?
No. A reference?
A promo?
Because when we get canned, I'm going to need somebody to help me feel
that. We got one guy. I think that is where I struggle with this. Because there is part of me that wonders how much of this is on Tepper. And to be fair, we're not going to know. When your owner is rotten, it takes you a while to figure that out. It took them a while to figure out Dan Snyder wasn't a great owner. By the way, firing Marty Herney after 1 year was a pretty good indicator.
I knew when I walked in the building in Washington, yeah, there's a different deal up there.
I should have said Marty Schottenheimer. Vic, welcome to the show. Real quick, what you got for us, buddy?
Hey, first of all, this is a little bit of an unfair question because you can't really judge the owner like you were just saying. You don't get to see the owner in public that much. You know, this isn't George Steinbrenner here. But having said that, I'm going to say Matt Rhule, just as he's responsible for the product on the field. Once it's time to get out of the tunnel and show up at Bank of America Stadium or whatever road field they're playing on, it's up to the coach. And so it's the coach's responsibility. So you got to say it's more him, given the fact that we don't actually know everything Tepper does behind the scenes, nor will we, because that's, you know, he's a smart owner. He's not going to put himself out there like that. So you got to go with Rhule, but there's a little bit of a qualifier there. You got to have a little bit of slack because you just don't know all the inner workings. The rest of us don't know it anyway, at least, you know, from a public standpoint. We don't know the inner workings inside the building.
We appreciate it, my guy, Vic. And what I will say is I think how he handles the Matt Rhule situation goes a long way.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had something pop in. It was going
to
come.
Like, murking him this year will go a long way to us saying how good he is or isn't. Giving him a third year. How he handles if Matt Rhule wants to go to Oklahoma. Like, these are a lot of the different tributaries that will start to give us the understanding. But, I mean, we do have to go back to the Ron thing. I can't go back, you know. One, firing Ron, not because Ron wasn't a good coach, but because he wanted his own guy. He wanted alignment. Forcing the 3-4 defense on Ron. These are a few things that we can already start to look at.
Now, to be fair,
and add context to what we're talking about.
Tepper did at least allow Ron to address the media on the way out. I thought that was very respectful of him to do that. That's dope. Also, on this night, Panthers lost 7-9, Nick. I know we got a ride. Why haven't we heard from the owner? I would have so much more respect for Tep if we'd have seen at least a statement from Tep. I'm working with Coach Rhule. We're going to get this fixed, Charlotte. Panthers fans, nothing.
All right. One final call here. T-Nice, you've been waiting for a few minutes, buddy. What you got for us?
Hello?
T-Nice, what you got for us, buddy?
Hey, what I say about the Panthers, I like David Tepper. I think he's an aggressive owner. I think that's what the city needs. As far as Matt Rhule, what I've noticed is that he's not good at in-game adjustments. And I think right now, when people see that they're going to play the Panthers, they say that that's a winnable game because Matt Rhule is very predictable. I don't know if that's Joe Brady as well, but I think right now the Panthers' game plan is very predictable. And even though they're still in the midst of the playoff race, they just seem like a team that people circle on their schedule because you would have thought that Brian Flores and Ron Rivera, that Redskins and Dolphins game was winnable for the Panthers, but it flip-flopped the other way because Matt Rhule just looked like he's getting out-coached every week. So I think Matt Rhule is the problem.
So here's what I think aids into what you're talking about. I don't think it's just offensively they're predictable. I think they're very predictable defensively. I think teams know we can run on you, and we can run on you at will, and they're not going to do anything to try and stop that. One very simple thing, and we've talked about loading the box. We've talked about saying
you can change the front to, like, stop a run.
Absolutely. You can change. And here's the other thing that bugs me about that.
Go ahead. Because
they're insanely versatile. They can
play. The personnel grouping.
Their personnel groupings. You can play bigger off the edge with White, Yetur Gross-Matos, with Morgan Fox. Right? You've got big guys in the middle. Hell, you could run a bunch of 350-pound dudes out there and put them on the offensive or defensive line if you wanted to.
They could run a bare front and just run literally five dudes across the line of scrimmage and just literally cover up a gap and make him just play man behind them. Here's also what's interesting. What a difference a year make. Aaron Rodgers said it was an odd defense he faced a year ago. NFL defensive coordinators have now seen and offensive coordinators have now seen that defense. They're like, oh yeah, got something for that.
So we'll continue on talking about this all week. Big thanks again to our guests. Wanted to get to the Mark Spain real estate Nick pick. Tonight, I'm going to go with North Carolina at home against number 24, Michigan. Michigan's a 2.5-point favorite in this game. Michigan has lost to Arizona, and they've lost to Seton Hall. They've beaten UNLV. They've beaten Buffalo. And they've beaten the Prairie View A&M Panthers.
Don't disrespect the HBCU. Shout out to the SWAC PVs down there in
South Houston. I'm going to go ahead and lay the 2.5 points. I'm going to take the North Carolina Tar Heels to win tonight. Do not shake your head. Itty bitty fitty, by Goma to you.
Every time you do this, my team loses, and I got to come in here and be pissed off for 4 hours.
A curse.
Yeah. And hey, was I right about the Nets last night?
Is that a fitty fiction?
That was a fitty fiction.
That's a fitty fiction.
So I was right about the Knicks covering against the Nets last night.
They still lost.
But I was right. I took the points in the Knicks, and I said that the Nets were probably going to still win.
But my Knicks lost.
By Goma to you. By Goma to you. What I'm burning on, you're a slappy. You are a full-blown slappy. How dare you?
Mm.
Stan, you're also a slappy.
Not true. Another Nick narrative.
All right, guys, that does it for us. KB coming up next. I was going to say good job out of Fitty. I was going to do it, and then he dared.
Great job out of Fitty.
Challenged the Mark's Main Real Estate Nick pick, which is undefeated this week, to my knowledge. Stan, good stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
I'm done with you, too.
Bye Goma to you, too. Bye Goma's all around. You know what, Bailey? Bye Goma to you as well. For no other reason than you're next. KB's coming up next, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. One day further into the abyss. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m. Nick for Stan and Itty Bitty Fitty saying, stay safe and be good, Charlotte.
I remember when they were throwing crap on the floor. I mean, almost crap.
Lord, I love you, Carolina.